nobody obeyed any curfew last night. I heard there were steaks at midnight. Let's try it again. Good morning. Good morning. All right. Something that I really appreciate about this week is the doesn't feel like we're rushed, we're in a hurry, and we just take time to worship before we come to the teaching, and that prepares our hearts. And for those of you that have been a part of the worship team and leading of that, thank you. You do a good job of just focusing us, turning our hearts to the Lord. And that's a huge part of being ready to hear what God has for us. So that's been good. So take your study guides. We'd be in session 7. This is how we fight. So yesterday we went through our armor, which is mostly defensive. Belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and then we're to pray always. So today we're going to shift our focus to our offensive weapons. So session seven and eight will cover 5 weapons, and I want to say this up front that this is not original with me. When I was a missionary in Grenada, one of my co-missionaries gave me Otto Koning's Pineapple Story series. How many of you have watched that or listened to that? Good, good stuff. And as he was, like, that was really key for us at the time and the things we were learning. And so a lot of this weapon things that I'm sharing today comes from Otto Koning. So Gideon had mentioned that first night, something him and I have in common. We both grew up in Iowa, and something that's different in Iowa than it is here in Montana is we don't have mountains. And so when you go hunting, you can only use shotguns for deer or bows, and then there's a muzzleloader season. But the only thing you can use a high-powered rifle for are coyotes, okay? And I bought a .30-06, and I wanted to use it. I got to shoot something with that thing. And my friend also had a .30-06. We said, we're going to go coyote hunting so we can use our big guns finally, right? So we went coyote hunting one morning, and we didn't go out early enough because as we were going out into the field along the timber line where the coyotes would be, there was already coyotes out there kind of running through the field. And, like, we got big guns. We can shoot them from, you know, miles away. So they're not going to get any closer, so we raised our guns and let it fire on them, and we missed, and they took off. And so, well, maybe we'll see some more. So we went on hunting the rest of that morning, and we didn't see any more coyotes. And it's like, this is a bummer. You don't want to come back from hunting with nothing, right? So, like, we're just looking for something that would move that we could shoot. And as we were walking through the brush area, we saw a cottontail. That's a rabbit, for those of you that aren't aware of those things. So we got these little cottontails. And it's like the same thing just crossed my mind as my friend's mind. There we are. We can bring something home today, okay? My apologies to those of you that like cottontails, little bunnies. Mostly, you're from Montana. You guys all know about hunting, so you can handle this story, right? So what we did, so that cottontail, he ran into a pile of brush, and then he hid there, or at least he thought he was hiding. You know, it blends in. But what he didn't know is we both saw where he was at. So I'm standing here, and my friend's standing over there, and like, who gets to shoot the game to bring it home? You know, and that was before rock, paper, scissors, so we didn't know what to do. So we just said, let's just bow shoot it. So all right, we put our guns on that thing, and on the count of three, just quiet, 1, 2, 3, 230-06 is laid in to that cottontail. The sad part was is we still had no game to bring home. Like, it was all over the brush pile. Now, they just had to take our word. Yep, we got something. It's back there, all over. we were using the wrong weapon for a cottontail. If we would have had our 22, we could have brought it home, right? Even a BB gun, we could have brought that thing home. To use a 22 on a coyote, maybe. You got to have the right weapon. And one of the things in spiritual warfare that many times we don't understand is we think spiritual warfare, we think the weapon in spiritual warfare is one weapon, the weapon of resisting. So what happens when you have a problem with people? We use the weapon of resisting, right? Often it doesn't work. What happens when you have a bad circumstance? Weapon of resisting. Most times that don't work. And then we become disillusioned. Is there really such a thing as spiritual warfare? We tried rebuking the devil and our problems, we still had our problems with that person or with this electronic device or with this whatever it may be, and we become disillusioned. The reason is you need to have the right weapon, the appropriate weapon for your problem, for what you're facing. Just like in our coyote hunting, we needed to have the proper weapon. So that's where I'm going to give you today, and not only are we going to make sure we understand the weapon, but we got to know when to use it. So, our text where we get this about the weapons of warfare, 2 Corinthians 10, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Let's read verse 4 together, okay? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's a promise right there. This is just stating truth. We have weapons, and they're not carnal, they're mighty. Verse 5, casting down imagination, which are arguments or reasonings, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So some points we're going to just ponder in this, and I gave this to you in our very first session. Let's go over this again. We are in a war. We are in a war. There is spiritual warfare, okay? It's a war against sin. There are spiritual issues, not only physical. We're not saying there's not physical issues, but there are both. We have weapons that are mighty through God, and there are strongholds that we need to take down, according to this passage. And these strongholds exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. That's why we put on that belt of truth. And we need to deal with our thoughts to bring them into obedience to Christ. Now, as I said yesterday, and we just wrapped up with this, the church is to be on the offensive. We're to be the ones who storm the gates of hell. Satan's kingdom is on the defensive. They're just trying to stop us. The church is to be offensive one. The gates will not prevail against the church. And if we're not offensive, Satan can more aggressively attack, and he can be on the offensive. So, first weapon. You guys ready? We awake? You had enough coffee? Anybody need to get more coffee yet? No, you don't. You're fine. All right. So, here we go. First weapon is the weapon of rejoicing. Weapon of rejoicing. When do you use this one? In bad circumstances. Any of you ever have any bad circumstances in your life? I got problems. You got problems. All God's children got problems. I think that's how the song goes. We all get problems. And what we're told in Scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning who? Yes, us, you, me, okay? Let's say this verse together. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Is it really true that what you're going through, it's God's will for you? I mean, that's what it's saying. In everything give thanks, because God's allowed it. Okay, I think Job is a testimony of this principle for us right there. Instead of cursing God like his wife told him to, he said, I'm going to bless you, Lord. Because somehow, God was still sovereign in his life. If the enemy, so now listen to this. You're not going to have to write down lots today, okay? So you have time to look at me and to think, all right? If the enemy is behind your bad circumstances, what's he want you to do? Fear? Okay. Yeah. Fear? What? Go ahead. Blame God? Yep. Get discouraged? Yep. Depressed? Mm-hmm. Complain? Yeah. Okay. Does he want you to rejoice? No. He wants you to be discouraged. He wants to get you down. He wants to get you to grumble. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Anybody can grumble in bad circumstances. You don't have to be spiritual for that, okay? In fact, that's just what the natural man does. A bad circumstance, we grumble, right? Okay, make sure you're awake. You with me? When you've got a bad circumstance, anybody can grumble. Anyone can complain. You don't have to be strong for that. It's just easy to grumble and complain when you got bad circumstances. Here's the difference. You're not anyone. You're a child of God who's been created by God, who's got plans for you, and in everything we can give thanks because it's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me. God's got something even in my bad circumstance. So what do? When you have a bad circumstance, you take out the weapon of rejoicing. Let me tell you a story that happens in Acts chapter 16 that illustrates this so powerfully. In this passage, we have Lydia getting saved, okay? So Lydia's a young lady. She was possessed with a demon following Paul and Silas and kind of crying out and was making a distraction to the ministry. Finally, Paul turns around and he rebukes the evil spirit. So we're going to get to that weapon later on. But he turns around and he rebukes the spirit in the name of Jesus, and the demon comes out of her. And then this makes her masters angry at Paul and Silas because they use this lady and her demon to do things for them and so on. So this is what happens to Paul and Silas. So they are out ministering. They deliver this young lady from a demon. So, wow, God's doing good things. The response is they get falsely accused. It says in verse 21 of Acts 16. These guys tear their clothes off of them. They have them beaten, and it says with many stripes. So they were beaten badly. This is Paul and Silas. And then they throw them in prison. That would classify, in my book, as a bad circumstance. All right? You're serving God. You've delivered somebody from a demon through the power of Jesus, and now you're accused of being bad guys. Your clothes are stripped off of you. You're whipped, you're beaten, and you're locked in prison. That's a bad circumstance. Now, what should Paul and Silas do? Rejoice. I don't know what time of day they're thrown in prison. It says at midnight, they rejoiced. I think Paul and Silas were like you and I. I think they cried for a while because it hurt. And I don't know if it took them a little bit to say, okay, God, what are you up to? But somehow, in the midst of their pain, and by the way, this isn't to be some type of fake, put-on, happy face. That's not true, okay? There is a time to cry when we're hurt. There is a time to mourn losses and to grieve things. It's not, let's just be fake and not real. In fact, I think you can rejoice in tears and in pain. I think Paul and Silas shed tears. I don't know what all happened, but it says at midnight, they began to rejoice and to praise God. And this is a story where God sends an earthquake, shakes up the prison, and all of a sudden they're free to go. And you know what happens that night? They didn't go. Because their goal wasn't to get out of their bad circumstances like too often. We just want to be comfortable. God, just make me comfortable. That's all I want. That's a terrible mindset to live with. Their goal wasn't to get out of there and to be comfortable. At midnight when they sang praises to God, when they were free to go, they didn't just get out of there. They stayed, and when the prisoner, the jailer comes and he realizes, oh, these guys are free, they could go, it's going to be his life now, he's going to kill himself because he'll be have to give account the next day and his prisoners are gone, and Paul says, hey, whoa, stop, you don't have to kill yourself, we're all here. And this is what he says. He brings him out, he says, sir, what must I do to be saved? Now, there was a miraculous happening, an earthquake where guys are free to go, but they didn't leave. This is miraculous, and this guy acknowledges there's something different about these guys. Sir, what do I need to do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved in your house. And that night, they washed his stripes, and he was baptized, he and his whole household. And he set meat before them, and he rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. That's a situation where there was clearly bad circumstances, and I wonder how that story would be different if Paul and Silas didn't understand the weapon of rejoicing. You know what a lot of teaching will tell you today? When you're preaching the gospel and you're thrown in prison, that's the enemy trying to shut you down, and you just rebuke him. What would happen if Paul and Silas were in prison and they began just rebuking the devil? And they start rebuking these chains. In the name of Jesus, I command you to let me free and whatever it would take just to rebuke chains and that type of thing. What if they'd have done that? That's not what they did. If God wants to set them free from the chains, he can do that. And what we're going to do in our bad circumstance is we're just going to praise God. And God did a mighty work. That night in the prison, salvation came. Why? Because they chose to rejoice when they were in a very hard place. Does that take natural power or supernatural power? I think that takes the power of God in you. Because your flesh is going to say, I shouldn't be in here. I don't deserve this. I want to be out of this. I want you to note, young people, much teaching on spiritual warfare will tell you that when you've got bad circumstance, they're of the devil, they're not of God, and you resist it, and you don't have to live under that. You know what Paul and Silas did? We're going to let God in charge of what we got to put up with, change, and so on. We are going to praise his name in bad circumstances. That's obedience to Scripture. Let's read this verse together again. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So your first weapon is the weapon of rejoicing. Now, none of you are looking at me like you're really excited about this. And I'll tell you why. Because you use it when you have bad circumstance. And nobody wants bad circumstances. And that's why we often don't use this. Our bad circumstances just kind of overwhelm us. And we get discouraged and we get down. And we say, oh, God is good, so then why aren't good things happening to me? Right here's our command, in everything give thanks. God's a personal God, and when he allows you to go through a hard time, he's up to something. When Paul and Silas rebuked that demon and it was cast out of her, they were just doing what God called them to do. And when they were taken and they were beaten and they're thrown in prison, God was up to something. But this jailer isn't going to get saved unless some of God's people get thrown in prison. And God's people should not be thrown in prison for doing bad things. That's a terrible testimony. So they got to be falsely accused. They got to be put in prison for all the wrong reasons. And then when they're there, they need to praise God instead of rebuking the devil and resisting against the chains and the things that bound them. They're just going to praise God, and then look what happens. Soul gets saved and his whole household. How does that happen? That happens when two Christians just say, God, we're going to rejoice in bad circumstances. How much glory is not going to God because we are not willing to praise God in a bad circumstance? And we're not talking about a fake, happy, happy type of we're talking about, God, we're just going to praise you in this bad circumstance, and God gets glory. This really isn't profound. It's just obedient to Scripture. It was actually Paul who wrote this. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. bad circumstances like that, that doesn't really seem like spiritual warfare. You know, too often we get caught up in trying to discern who's behind my bad circumstance. Let me free you of some hard work that Christians waste time on. When something bad happens to you, you don't have to figure out who's behind it. Okay? This doesn't say in something, it says in everything, and it says it's the will of God. So was it the devil behind them being beaten? We don't know. It don't matter. Is the devil behind your bad circumstance? It doesn't matter. Rejoice and praise God. When is it not right to rejoice? It's just always right. So I don't know if the devil's behind this one or if God's doing this thing. I don't know who's behind it. But what I do know is I can rejoice right now. And that's a weapon to use in a bad circumstance. Now, let's go out and use this weapon. Okay, time out. You need a bad circumstance first. Bummer. That's the truth. And it's easy right now in here to say, to agree with this and say amen. Can you commit that later on today, hopefully not today, maybe tomorrow, when you have a bad circumstance, can you say, God, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to praise your name. It's not natural. It's going to take the power of Christ in you. And it takes a surrendered life saying, God, I don't have to have my comfort. It doesn't have to be the way. I know that it's your will, whatever I'm going through, and I can just trust you in that. Can you do that? That's your first weapon. Weapon of rejoicing. We use it in bad circumstances. Let's take up another weapon here, okay? The second weapon is the weapon that we expect when we study spiritual warfare, the weapon of resisting. And the scripture to go with this, so it's a weapon of resisting. When do we use it? We use it from satanic attacks. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So when we have attacks from the enemy, we use a weapon of resisting. Okay? Now, let me tell you a story. Actually, I'm going to tell you two. We were having our what we called crusade in Grenada. It was basically like revival meetings. And this was Saturday evening of our revival meetings. And we had a youth night. So we all the youth came in. We played games and so on ahead of time and fed them a supper. And so the church was full with a lot of youth. And every night we would always have a children's meeting. And different ones of us took turns having a children's meeting. And that night it was my turn to have a children's meeting. And so I had prepared well. I had an object lesson, and I was excited about what I'm going to bring to the children because they're going to pay attention because I've got a good object lesson. They're going to listen, and so I'm ready for this. And I was up the front of the church doing my object lesson and teaching the children. I had to stop multiple times and tell them just to listen. That's the worst thing to do when you're trying to teach. Listen to me. I'm interesting. Listen to me. That feels terrible. It was just bad. I was so glad when the time was done, when I'm done with my lesson, I send them back to sit down. I went back and sat in the back of the church, and the co-missioner, he gets up and brings the evangelist up there and prays with him, and he's going to preach. Now I was like, phew, that was bad. I'm glad that was over with. And as that evangelist started preaching, it was like there was just this uneasiness throughout the church house, and it was like nobody was paying attention. All of a sudden, it just hit me as I'm sitting there, I think we need to rebuke the devil. Like, there's a reason there's just this atmosphere of just unrest and nobody's paying attention. And so I did something that you're not supposed to do. When you've been speaking and you sit down, you're done. Stay there, right? And when the preacher's up and he's preaching, don't interrupt the preacher, okay? Especially a visiting one like that. That just might not be good. All of a sudden, it's like, you know what, Rick, we got to do this. So I just got up and said, excuse me, brother. I said, I think we need to rebuke the devil. And fortunately, this was a spirit-filled brother that he had no problem with. And I said, we're just going to pray and rebuke the devil so that we can have a peace in here. We can hear the word of God tonight. So that's what we did. I didn't raise my voice and shout. I just like this. I just prayed in the name of Jesus. We rebuke Satan that he can have no power over this place, that there would be an atmosphere of peace here. So that's what I prayed. When I was done, I went and sat down, okay? And then the brother just continued in his message. And the whole atmosphere in that church just changed. My co-missionary, who was the moderator that night, he was outside with one of his children, and he said it was just like an unrest out there. And then all of a sudden, everything was just calm out there. There was a marked difference in the atmosphere. Satan didn't want these youth to hear the message of the gospel that night. And there was just an unrest. There wasn't a peace in that. So what did we do? We used the weapon of resisting. When you use the weapon of resisting, you need to do it verbally. Again, Satan can't read your minds. You don't have to yell, but you do it verbally. And rebuking him that night, and there was a peace there. When we have satanic attacks, we use this weapon of resisting. When there is a strong... So how do we know if it's a satanic attack? God's a God of peace. There was no peace then. His number one tool of the enemy is, his weapon, is fear. So if there's ever a fear... when I sat down, I was just ready to be done speaking. Okay, that's not how it works. So what's going on here? The weapon of resisting. Thinking back to this past story of Paul. When Paul saw that young lady who was following them, and she was just bringing chaos that wasn't of God. You could say, okay, how do you tell the difference between a bad circumstance and a satanic attack? Sometimes we don't always know. But what she was doing, it was clearly, this isn't of God. So he turns and rebukes her in the name of Jesus, and the demon had to flee. Now, if you're ever at a time when you're not sure, just use both weapons, okay? So we're going to rebuke Satan in the name of Jesus, command him to flee, and then we're going to go on and we're going to rejoice and serve God. That's what Paul and Silas did in that situation. They used the weapon of resisting, rebuked the devil, cast her out of her, and then they continued on in their ministry. That's what they did. Now, I want you to think about this as we look at these two weapons here. Paul rebuked the evil spirit that was in that young lady. He didn't rebuke the men that caught him or that beat him or that threw him into prison. Paul didn't rebuke the chains that bound him. Instead, he praised God. And God worked. God is well able to take those physical chains and to drop them off them. And he did. I think that's important for us to note. I think that's a foreign concept to much of modern-day Christianity. It's God's will for you to preach, Paul. You've been called by God to be a missionary. You're not to be in prison. Just rebuke the devil, and you should be able to walk out of prison. I don't think so. God can do that if he wants. I'm going to rejoice right now. That's what Paul did, and we have a great story of that. I want to give you a couple of scriptures here in Matthew 8. And this is a case where Jesus came and there were demons that were possessing a man. And I want you to look at the devil's fear of Jesus, okay? Matthew 8, verse 28 says this, "And when he was coming to the other side of the country, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Are you come hither to torment us before our time? And there was a good way off from him them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devil said, if you cast us out, suffer us to go into the herd of the swine." Okay, time out. These demons are just pleading to Jesus, have mercy on us. Okay, throw us into these swine. Satan is no match for Jesus. Amen? He is no match for him. And they acknowledge that. He said to them, "Go." And when they were cast out into the herd of swine. The whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place in the sea and perished in the waters. The demons tremble at the name of Jesus. James says this, you believe there's one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It's interesting that when we're told to resist the devil, I think almost every time it says this ahead of that, submit yourself to God. Submit yourself to God. I think one of the signs of us submitting to God is we're able to rejoice in our bad circumstance. If we're fighting against a circumstance, are we saying, God, you messed up, you were sleeping during this time? Another verse for us to remember in this. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We as Christians don't need to be afraid, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So you have a bad circumstance, you rejoice. Satanic attacks, you praise God. These weapons aren't carnal, they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We could just go right in and finish up with these others, but I think we should take some time just to talk a little bit about this, and then we'll just dismiss early, okay? So I'm not going to put more on you than this. Maybe it would be appropriate for us to say, God, could you just sink this truth into our hearts? Because I don't sense any arguing, any disagreeing with me about these two weapons. But next week, when you have a bad circumstance, are you still going to be agreeing? And are we going to pick it up? So let's just get in groups of three or four and just share. Is there something that God's talking to you about? And then let's just pray together. God, remind us of this truth when the bad circumstance come. We don't want to just sit in here where we all agree and say, yes, this is good, and then go our way and forget it, okay? We want to use this mighty weapon, the weapon of rejoicing. So let's get in groups of three or four, and you can share whatever, pray together, and then be dismissed. The next thing on our schedule is what? We have prayer groups, right, this morning? Someone help me out. So at 11 o'clock is prayer time? All right, so get in small groups here, share together, pray a little bit, and then you're dismissed to refill your coffee and enjoy some fellowship time here.